This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Will there be a new tribal casino in North Carolina? A congressional bill that would make way for the Catawba Indian Nation to establish a gaming facility in Cleveland County is sparking controversy. The Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians say this new casino would hurt their facilities in Cherokee and Murphy. Holly Kays has been covering the story. She's Cherokee reporter for the Smoky Mountain News. Welcome back, Holly.
Good to be here, Frank.
Tell us more about this bill. It's in the Senate now, as I understand. What's in it?
The bill itself is very short. It states that the tribe, the Catawba, would states that the federal government would be allowed to take the land in question in Cleveland County into trust, and also that the federal government could okay gaming to take place on that land. The other part of this bill is that it exempts the tribe from Section 20 of the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act. That act governs the process allowing gaming on lands that are acquired after 1988. And the exemption would mean that the Catawba would not have to go through the long approval process outlined in that section from the governor of the state where the casino would go, and also consultation with local leaders examining impacts such as effects on property tax rolls.
All right, so that's interesting. So it would make it easier for them to build a casino in this land that they would have acquire should this all go through, and it will also give them permission to acquire this land in trust in North Carolina. So I think maybe we need to step back and talk about a little bit of the more recent history of the Catawba, who had been authorized as a tribe and then lost that designation. Tell us a little bit about that history.
Sure. Well, the Catawba had been a federally recognized tribe, and then they lost that recognition in 1959. And then launched an effort to regain recognition, and this resulted in a 1993 settlement agreement. And it basically outlined what their land base would be as a tribe. In agreeing to this settlement, they agreed to give up all other land claims. And they say that they've basically been shortchanged by the agreement, that they haven't realized many of the benefits that they understood themselves to be agreeing to.
But there's a little confusion in the way that new recognition, when they were recognized again and were given, sort of they defined what would be Catawba land. There was also this land that was historic in terms of their interests that extended into North Carolina. Tell us about that and what kind of distinction that is.
Well, the service area for the tribe, as outlined in the 1993 agreement, includes all of South Carolina, but it also includes six counties in North Carolina, which includes Cleveland County, where the casino is proposed to go. The settlement agreement outlines the process for taking land into trust to be part of the tribal lands in South Carolina. It doesn't really speak to how that process should occur in North Carolina. The Catawba say that's an oversight and that it was understood at the time that they would be allowed to take land into trust in North Carolina. But they say they've been having difficulty making that happen because of the lack of clarity in the agreement.
All right. So there is this lack of clarity, this gray area. What does the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians say about this in North Carolina?
Well, in short, they don't like it. They say, first of all, they say that the bill would create a special exemption for one tribe. The process for taking land into trust and then having gaming approved on that land, it's a long process. It's complicated. It takes time. It takes money. So they say that it's unfair to create an exemption for one tribe, especially an exemption that would hurt their existing gaming operation when they build up that operation under the existing rules. They say it would be different if the bill were to grant a blanket exemption that treated all tribes equally, but that as written, it sets a dangerous precedent so that tribes could decide that the rules as written are too onerous and decide to sidestep them by finding a senator to sponsor the bill. They also take issue with a proposed location. They say that that the land in question is originally Cherokee territory and not Catawba.
All right. So we have, and give us an idea of the Cherokee operations in Western North Carolina right now.
Sure. They began in 1997, so they've been around a little over 20 years and began with a small casino in Cherokee. That casino has since grown. It's huge, and in 2015, a new casino is added in Murphy. There's another expansion underway at the casino in Cherokee right now. It's an economic powerhouse, not just for the tribe, but for the region as a whole. They employ close to 4,000, about 4,000 people. They employ about 5% of the total workforce in the Western region. The casino provides the lion's share of the tribe's budget, as well as the per capita disbursements that enrolled members get. And, of course, there's a lot of indirect economic impact from the casinos as well.
Right, they pay taxes, state taxes, and all the rest of it, as well as local property tax and all the rest. So, but what about, talk about the co-sponsors of this bill, Senator Tom Tillis and Richard Burr, Republicans from North Carolina, have co-sponsored this, which would make it easier for the Catawba to build these casinos in North Carolina. Why are they co-sponsoring this bill?
They basically say that it would right a wrong that's been exacted on the Catawba, and that it would lift up the Cleveland County area as well, because it would be an economic boost for that area of the state as well.
What is the so that's kind of an interesting, if you think about it, you've got a Native American band and nation in this state arguing that this would hurt us. Their senators say co-sponsored a bill that's going to allow this competition, but then it would also mean economic development for that part of the state. So those questions are still kind of facing us now. What's on the proposed site now? What land are we talking about in Cleveland County? Who owns it, and how do you move it over to the property of the Catawba Indians?
Sure. Well, the Catawba do not own it right now. According to the bill and according to the property map viewer on the Cleveland County website, it's owned by Roadside Truck Plaza, Inc. right now. It's located right along I-85. If you take a look at Google Maps, it shows the site as being empty.
And what is the process for this, then, if this were to go through, somebody owns this land, I assume that they would have to be purchased, what, by the federal government? How does that transfer even take place?
Oh, it's a very long and complicated process to take land into trust. According to testimony in a May 1st hearing before the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs, it's not unusual for this process to start before the tribe in question owns the land.
And what about the facility itself? I understand that they've described this in your reporting. There is some description of the intent and what this new casino would look like in Cleveland County. Can you describe it for us, at least as they envision it now?
Sure. They say it would employ about 4,000 people. It would be, I believe, about 200,000 square feet. So it would be significant, constructing it would, be a millions and millions of dollars endeavor. So it would have a pretty significant impact to the region that way in the short term as well. And also, of course, through employment and taxes, both income and sales and any revenue that comes from gaming taxes as well.
There was recently a meeting, you mentioned this meeting of the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs, where the bill was brought up. Tell us about that process, because I understand that Chief Sneed of the Cherokee felt pretty good after that. So maybe you can give us a sense of what went on in that hearing.
Sure. Nobody from the Eastern Band testified, though they were present to see it. Chief Bill Harris from the Catawba tribe testified, as did John DeSuda, who is the Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of Indian Affairs. It lasted for a little over an hour, but that discussion included two other bills as well that didn't have any relationship to this. Three senators directed questions at Chief Harris and John DeSuda. Those were the Chairman John Hoven of North Dakota and the Vice Chairman Tom Udall of Nevada. Hoven asked DeSuda whether the Department of the Interior supports the bill, and DeSuda basically said that the department supports equal application of the laws for federally recognized tribes, and that the settlement agreement has resulted in disparate treatment for the tribe. And so this bill might right that. There were some pretty pointed questions from Senator Cortez Masto. She asked DeSuda several times whether the bill would still be able to accomplish its goal of clarifying the language in the settlement agreement without waiving Section 20. She said that waiving that section would set bad precedent. She asked how many other tribes have gotten such a waiver. And she kind of revisited that same line of questioning several times to see to eventually answered regarding the reason for the Section 20 waiver by basically saying that in 1993, Congress had determined that the tribe had a strong historical connection to that area.
And what about the answer to the question that this would set a precedent that any tribe could then say, well, we would like our own exclusion for us, just as our nation, we want our own exclusion?
Yes, and that's been a talking point for Principal Chief Richard Sneed of the Eastern Band as well. He says it would basically throw open the floodgates for these sorts of exclusions. The Catawba disagree. They say it's necessary because of their unique situation historically.
All right, and what needs to happen next? What happens now with this bill?
Well, the committee hearing has been held, so next the committee needs to decide what to do with it. They could hold a markup session, discuss possible changes to the bill, and eventually they'll have to vote on whether or not to move it forward to the floor, to the Senate floor for a vote.
All right. Holly Kays, Cherokee reporter for the Smoky Mountain News. Thanks so much, Holly.
Good to be here.
We've got links to her reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we learn about class distinctions in slave communities in the antebellum South. And we'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.